This podcast episode is brought to you by Paleo Valley's Organic Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Now, we all know that many olive oils are cut with seed oils or that they are rancid, and so it's not always easiest to find a quality and properly sourced olive oil. Yes, in case you didn't know, many store-bought olive oils are diluted or blended, compromising both taste and quality, and may even cause rancidity. I'm really glad that Paleo Valley's extra virgin olive oil remains pure and unadulterated, sourced from a single organic valley in Greece. Paleo Valley ensures freshness and nutrient content by packaging their olive oil in dark glass bottles. At a certain point, I stopped using extra virgin olive oil, but once our practice started working with people with chronic inflammatory response syndrome, or SIRS, we started recommending it for the reduction of TGF-beta-1. It is an immune system marker that shows inflammation both for COVID-19, SIRS, and actually many other illnesses. So if your TGF-beta-1 is high, you may want to try incorporating a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. Make sure to check it out. It comes in a 2-pack package. And remember, all Paleo Valley products are guaranteed with a money-back guarantee. Go to paleovalley.com/NWJ to get 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting companies that support this podcast. Hey guys, it's Judy from Nutrition with Judy. Thanks for joining me today. My name is Judy Cho and I'm board certified in holistic nutrition. And I have a private practice where we focus on root cause healing, and it often starts with the Carnivore Cures All Meat Elimination Diet. Today, I had the pleasure of sitting down with Nora Kemmerer. I had the pleasure of meeting Nora in person at KetoCon this year, 2023. We talked a lot about her healing journey and her weight loss journey, as well as lots of other things that she has just experienced in the last couple of years, especially because of the pandemic and all the events that led after. What makes Nora really special and why I wanted to have her on and share her journey is because she was on the front lines of everything that was going on with the pandemic. Nora is a registered cardiac sonographer, and she lives in Virginia and saw a lot of what was going on during the pandemic. She was in the hospitals when COVID hit and saw everything in person on the front lines during 2020. In her conversation, Nora shares her experience being on the front lines, seeing the differences of what was happening in our hospitals and what had happened on mainstream media. She shares the questionable differences she was seeing in person and then what was being displayed on the news. She also wasn't afraid of the virus because she was eating a clean diet and healing her body. So she was in a lot of the rooms where a lot of the doctors and nurses were too scared to go in because the patient was dying from the illness. I wanted people to really listen to Nora's story and just our share about a lot of the stuff that goes on and that many of us have not been able to really share our story or have felt isolated because of the stance that we have taken. I hope that this conversation shows that maybe the way you have viewed everything that has happened in the pandemic, that you are not alone. Let's get right into the interview. Hi, Nora. I am so excited for you to just join me today and share your story. It's a pretty powerful one. We met at KetoCon and I just really, really liked you and your story. And I think it's so powerful. So I'm really excited for the community to meet you. And I'm sure some people already know you, but for them to really just get to know you more. So if you can just introduce yourself and how you found Carnivore.
Thank you, Judy, for inviting me on your show. I'm a huge fan and have been for the past 3 years. I started Carnivore, I just stumbled across it thanks to Dr. Robert Kiltz. He is the owner of CNY Fertility up in New York, and I had been a patient of his. I tried keto for a few years off and on from 2017 to 2020. And when my last IVF transfer failed in January 2020, I had a lot of questions. And the biggest one is, what can I do to improve myself for next time? Will there be a next time? A lot of people know IVF takes a toll on the body, and I had not given it all I could. Dr. Kiltz did mention carnivore to me. I honestly don't know if it was through a personal text message. He was interested that I was in cardiology. and was opening my mind to an all meat diet. He said, since keto didn't work for me too well, based on those keto treats that I indulged in too many times, I decided to try carnivore. And that was spring 2020. And it was an easy transition, surprisingly enough.
And then walk me through. So you mentioned that you offline, you mentioned about antidepressants. So if you can just tell me, you know, what got you started on antidepressants and then how you weaned off maybe through the carnivore diet. And then if you had any ramifications of getting off of it.
Oh, definitely. So I went through normal teenage hormonal stuff, had issues with parents, boy troubles, school troubles, fitting in. So I was diagnosed as having a chemical imbalance at an early age of about 16. At that time, I saw a psychiatrist and a therapist. I was immediately placed on two antidepressants at the same time, along with a sleep aid. Just for normal teenage problems. Looking back, that's what they were. Over the next 5 years, they slowly added more medications. And finally, in my early 20s, I knew something was off. So I did wean myself down to finally two medications again. I believe it was an anti-anxiety and then an antidepressant. I never felt right, though, on them. I was just in a cloud. And so in my, let's say, early 30s, I did try to get off of them a couple times, but I was on the standard American diet. I was eating sugar all the time. I was drinking. And it was just my husband and I working hard, playing hard. And I was on these pills, but I knew something wasn't right. Then in, let's see. So I started the carnivore diet and I felt amazing. I did allow some red wine while I was on carnivore. So I was about 95%. But my mood changed and I was clear-headed for the first time ever. And I thought for the first time I could safely get off these drugs. We obviously had not been successful in getting pregnant. I wanted to do everything I could to be toxin-free and med-free. So with the help of a naturopathic doctor, I added a few supplements, ashwagandha, and a couple others, and slowly weaned off of my antidepressants. I did not have any issues getting off of them, and it did take 6 months, but I safely got off of them, and I've been med-free completely for 2 years, and I was on those drugs for almost 20 years.
Wow. So for 20 years, you were on some type of antidepressant, maybe anti-anxiety, and then it took about a shorter period of time to wean off them, and you weaned off them successfully.
Completely.
That is amazing. Yeah, we hear of a lot of people that go through a carnivore diet. Maybe they do some gut healing, but absolutely their mental health starts improving. And so there are people that can wean off. I have had a few clients that they can't wean off to the smallest dose, but or they can't wean off completely. And there might be some other imbalance, but maybe they'll get to the smallest dose. But that is amazing that you were able to fully get off. Do you struggle with any mental health since in the last 2 years of weaning off of them?
Yes, but I just think that's normal life and what I've gone through in the past 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
That's taken a toll.
Right.
But then I changed my mindset and I know that there are healthy alternatives to antidepressants since I lived in a cloud for 20 years. And my husband comments, he never saw a difference. Even when I got off them, I was a little more clear-headed, but there was no benefit that we could see to the antidepressants.
Okay.
So when I do get into a slump, I will call a friend or I'll sit down with my husband and say, okay, need to vent. And I will, or I'll go for a walk. I'll do yoga. I will do something healthy instead.
Right. No, that makes sense. And I have had a very similar experience with you in the past, so I totally get it. Let's talk about the last 2 years of your life, because I think anyone that's gone through what you have gone through would absolutely have had a lot of ups and downs with mood. So that is completely normal. And I think as people hear your story, they will understand that. Maybe if you can just tell us a little bit about, you know, I read your blog about the last couple years of your journey, and it's really, really powerful. But maybe if you could just start where you feel like it's comfortable to start the story and then just continue on.
Hey,
Hey guys, I'm excited to share that I'll be speaking at Hack Your Health by KetoCon May 31st through June 2nd. You can come by and say hi while I do a book signing or join me during the food addiction panel or the triumphs in troubleshooting on a carnivore diet panel on the main stage. Hack Your Health by KetoCon is the largest event in the US focused solely on the science and stories of tools to improve your health journey. As part of the conference, there are over 200 vendors and 70 speakers that include medical professionals, practitioners, coaches, and experts. I love this event because it's the largest community gathering of like-minded people. I guarantee you, you'll make at least one friend. Make sure to get your 3-day pass and use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your 3-day general admission pass. Go to hackyourhealth.com and get tickets today. It's an incredible experience you don't want to miss. And if you're at the conference, make sure to come by and say hello. Remember, use code NWJ50 to get $50 off your tickets.
Sure. So the pandemic hit us in February, March 2020, and I was on the front lines. I am a cardiac sonographer. I do anything and everything with the heart. I used to assist in surgeries. I do ultrasounds of the heart. You name it, I do it. And I was working at a major hospital in Fredericksburg, Virginia at the time. And all of a sudden on the news, this illness was sweeping across and it had entered the US and we were to prepare. I'm not going to lie, I was a little excited because I had never, we've dealt with tuberculosis, we've dealt with other contagious illnesses, and it was the unknown. So I actually scanned the first positive patient in Northern Virginia. I offered. I'm young, healthy-ish, or so I thought at the time. This was right when I was transitioning into carnivore. And so I scanned that patient, no questions asked. I suited up, put on my two masks, my goggles, my hairnet, my booties, covered my machine, and walked in, did my job, and walked out with a bunch of people on the other side of the glass watching me. A couple weeks later, I was still healthy, and so were my coworkers. I was still offering to scan COVID, the positive patients as they came in, and no questions asked. I was just doing my job. That's all. But I kept hearing about these deaths on the news and how everyone was getting sick. We just weren't seeing it. The masking happened immediately. We had to put on these cloth masks that were made for us by local community people that shipped them into the hospital. It went against everything we've been taught in healthcare. We wear masks in surgeries to prevent spit from going onto patients. And now we had to, us healthy people had to mask nonstop. And it just didn't make any sense. I started questioning things maybe a month in when we were still healthy and yet we were told to do the opposite of health.
Were you the only one of your colleagues that started questioning, or was it more people?
I was probably the only one. We kind of went along with it. Like, we wouldn't mask in the echo lab. We were actually, had to get our hours cut. We were so slow because people were so afraid to come into the hospital. So it was another day for us, almost. But I was the only one that really, why aren't we getting sick? We should be sick. If this is so highly contagious, and yet we're taking our masks down, but no one else seemed to share those thoughts with me, unfortunately.
You mentioned that your hospital, so a lot of the news showed that hospitals were overrun, and then there were these makeshift places created so that people can get care. And you said you saw something different. What happened in your hospital and then the other hospital you worked at?
So we created a makeshift hospital for the positive patients out in the garage. They spent, I don't know how much money on this, and it remained shut down the entire duration I was at this hospital. My hours were cut from 40 to 50 hours a week to 20, and I couldn't survive on that. Our hospital was not overran. And being in cardiology, you would think that, and this virus affecting the lungs, therefore the heart, that I would have job security. And I didn't. We were sent home a lot. We were called off a lot. And we were a small team at a major hospital. So in July 2020, I took a job at a trauma one hospital, twice the size, in downtown DC. And I offered to scan the patients right away in the ICU because most people were terrified. I had yet to get as much of a sniffle in July. So it had been a few months at that point, 4 or 5 months, and still healthy. At this point, I was eating a zero carb diet. I would bring my ribeyes into work and I would sit outside and get my vitamin D. And that was the other thing. These patients that I saw were not the epitome of health, that were getting hit hard and that were being intubated. They had the higher BMIs. They had COPD, smokers, lots of comorbidities. And I started following people on Instagram that started speaking out, and I wanted to find a place that I didn't feel so alone because I couldn't be the only one questioning things. What they were saying on the news didn't match what I saw every single day. And I found the frontline doctors. I found that they suggested a supplement regimen. And I think that's the only thing I did follow because I assumed supplements are pretty natural and it made sense. Here, support your immune system naturally. You're not going to get sick. So I was eating the diet. I took the vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, and I felt absolutely amazing.
Was that hospital also not as busy? So your second hospital you worked at?
So since it was a trauma one hospital, we were busy.
Okay.
But it was twice the size, downtown DC, you name it, we got those kind of patients. Mm-hmm. They were also known for their cardiac wing. So we performed open heart surgeries all day, every day. But the positive patients weren't overrunning the hospital.
Okay.
People did come in and test positive, but that's not why they were there. They just happened to test positive, and then they would have to be quarantined in a certain portion of the hospital.
Did your team members all mask up and suit up all the time because they were a little bit more scared about this illness?
So we were watched, and we were forced to do that when we went into the positive rooms.
Okay.
Outside of those positive rooms, all we had to wear was a surgical mask.
Mm. Okay.
They added the face shields, and I did get a little rebellious because it was going on. It was over a year. I still hadn't gotten sick and we were still having to double mask, N95 surgical mask, bouffant, goggles, you name it, to go into every COVID, every positive room. I did slack off on that aspect, but my coworkers were scared.
What do you think was different about you versus your coworker? So, you know, you started thinking, the what I'm seeing in mainstream media is not reflective of what we're seeing in the hospitals. I'm testing all these people that are positive. I'm not getting sick at all, nor am I catching it. So it's not lining up. And I even lost work that I have to find a different place to work because we're so slow. So that all seems like, it makes sense that you would start questioning the news. But what do you think it was that although your colleagues were all experiencing the same thing, they still were genuinely scared?
They all did get sick.
Oh, okay.
Everyone did wind up getting the virus. It was not severe. I honestly don't know the answer to that question. They believed it. They also avoided those patients' rooms. No one questioned.
Okay.
They just, and at that point, I was already questioning the food going into my body.
Right.
How we were breathing. And I do take that back. There was one other person that questioned it.
Okay.
My director. And I remember I was allowed to pull my mask down during the interview. And she did agree. She questioned. She did not go along with this like the others. But she was also the director. She did have hands on. But she was the only one I did meet that did question.
Okay. And then fast forward time. So present day, my understanding, you've never tested to see if you're positive or negative, right? And then you've never correct. Also had it. Is that correct?
Correct. Why am I going to take a test if I don't get sick? That was my whole reasoning behind it. If I'm not sneezing, if I don't have a sniffle, if I don't have a cough, if I don't have a fever, thankfully I wasn't forced to test at that time. They did start the mandatory testing right after I left. I did get a slight sinus infection while I was happened to be on vacation. And I stayed in my room and had some forced downtime. That was a year and a half after I scanned my first patient and I was okay. It was, I mean, just a regular sinus infection. I didn't think anything of it. And I was on the couch for about 24 hours and then I was up again. But no, I had never tested, never had COVID as far as I know.
Okay. And then let's bring in the time where now this shot is around and where people are starting to have mandates about it. Can you talk about your experience when once that started being released and you know what your experience was?
My eyes were really opened, like I said, with the carnivore diet and healing myself naturally. So I was on this natural journey by December 2020. And I think a lot of the Instagram influencers, I don't know what else to call them, but they started having me ask questions about what I'm putting in my body. What am I putting on my body? At that point, I was noticing that my lotion that I was putting on my body had chemicals in it. So I switched to that. So I was already asking all of these questions. And then this miraculous shot comes around and I was like, but I feel better than I ever have. And I'm not sick. So why do I want to take this? And then I, also with the fertility, there was that, you know, conspiracy that possibly this shot would affect fertility. I've been suffering from infertility for quite some time and I didn't want to risk anything. There was a possibility of IVF again. So I didn't want to take a chance. Well, the shot started rolling out and everyone rolled up their sleeves immediately. And then I started noticing some side effects. And this was all that I was witnessing. And people would come to me because I did question. Someone on my research team, I co-ran a research program in the cardiology lab. And one of the research assistants, less than 30 days after the shot, had an autoimmune disease triggered. And she lost all of her hair. And the doctors admitted it was her second shot.
Oh, wow.
They flat out admitted it. Veyer's reporting was not on my radar at the time.
Okay.
So I didn't even ask about that. But that was the first red flag. Then the stroke patients started coming in. And it was already a no in my book. But this solidified it. And my husband at the time, I did not want him to take it as well because I was questioning and I was becoming pretty adamant about it. He did not understand whatsoever. He had to keep his job. He was not about to lose our main income because I did not want him taking some shot. The turning point was a 19-year-old that came in, 19, healthy, young athlete, softball player. She had a stroke behind her eye. A couple weeks after her second shot. And that's when my husband completely changed his mind as well. And then I would start seeing these injuries on a weekly basis. And that's, I was actually given the ultimatum. I was all but running the echo lab at that point. And I did have to leave my job over refusing the shot.
Well, thank you for being brave and sharing all of that. That's not easy to share. I think a question that some people that are watching or listening to may ask is, well, how do we know that those symptoms or the strokes or the people coming in with a stroke other than that young girl, how do we know it's from the shot?
The direct correlation, no previous history of health problems, the time frame in which it happened. And a lot of the time, the patient themselves would say, why did this happen? This happened right after this shot. And a lot of the times it was them that brought it up to me.
Oh, okay. Was it an uncommon amount of strokes compared to previous of the shot? Was there a increase in strokes that you would see or heart events you would see compared to the before the release of this shot?
Maybe I didn't notice it with the older people, but the thing that really piqued my curiosity were the younger adults, the people in their teenage years, the early 20s, people that you don't expect to just have a stroke.
So there were more people, more like 20-ish year old people coming in having strokes.
Yes.
Than ever. Okay.
Yes.
And did everyone in the hospital diagnose them as because this is shot related, or was it just?
No. It was taboo to talk about. You did not correlate it. And to this day, they will not correlate it.
Okay. So what happened with you then when you decided I'm not going to take the shot that you see many adverse effects from?
So that was in September. I was actually interviewed to become the lead echo tech over the echo lab. And one thing I was diagnosed with was antiphospholipid syndrome. It is a blood clotting disease. We attributed that to some of my infertility. Okay. Well, it is listed on the NIH as a contraindication to the shot. So I had my paper saying, I can't get this shot. And I was told it didn't matter. I did not want to fight for a job that I was doing perfectly this whole time.
Right.
So I did decide to walk, and I did turn in my resignation. And the day the mandates went into effect, September 30th, 2021, I walked out of the hospital. I landed on my feet. I wound up taking a management job in Northern Virginia at a practice I had previously worked at. And the doctor gladly took me back. So I was very fortunate.
Do you think you would have, let's say you didn't have that other job that landed you to be okay. Do you think you would have gone back ever and possibly gotten the shot because, hey, I need a job. I have no choice.
Morally, I couldn't.
Why?
It's hard to explain why I am so adamant.
I get it, but I'm curious.
Yeah, I just, at that point, after what I had seen, I had a friend that had a hysterectomy because the shot inflamed her ovaries. The stories that I heard, that I was told, because I was very outspoken on social media about all of this. I was very outspoken on how to naturally boost your immune system. So people did come to me when they had problems from these shots. There was no possible way. And I prayed every day that God would provide for me some way. And I am very good at my job. And I think that's, I made myself well known in Northern Virginia, and that's how I did luck out. Yeah.
Well, I can share a little bit about what I saw during that time and what I see now in practice since I, you know, have a practice. So when I was starting to share about alternative diets online, I also got a lot of information about other things, including shots that were not even related to this recent shot. So people would tell me in our carnivore community of injuries of other shots. And I was not even part of that conversation with my young boys. And so I didn't even have an opinion. But I got a lot. And so I just made a highlight on my social media page of shot injuries or experiences. And it's just family after family of parents saying, my first child got one of them, got sick. And now we didn't give one to the second, and the second one is healthier. And there's just like so many devastating. And I know these are so anecdotal, but I felt that the right thing to do was at least share and offer people options to then do the research if they want to do that. What I do know is that so my brother wanted us to get this new shot for my parents, and they were 70 and they were meat-based. And granted, they had metabolic syndrome before. My mom was on metformin and they had high cholesterol. So I was in a dilemma. I didn't work at a hospital, but I knew that I don't fully trust anything anymore. So I did my research and I went down these rabbit holes with the flu shot. It's so unsuccessful. There, I have one on my, and I'll put it in the show notes, but I think it only helps one age bracket, maybe the 50 to 60 year olds, and maybe 10%, but everyone else, there's no benefit if not adverse. So then I just started wondering, well, why are we giving that? And then there was another one I ran into. It was, I think it's the chickenpox one. I don't even know what it's the technical term, because I never got one. And so I realized that my older son got it, and I just was, well, why? And so then I did the research, and maybe 100 people get sick, if not die from it a year. But the amount supposedly that get injured from it is many, 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 many more. So then again, I just wondered, well, why are we doing that? And then there, while I was doing that research, there's one interesting fact was that, so if people around you get chickenpox and as an adult you get exposed, well, then you may never get shingles again, right? Because you're getting these low doses of exposure so that you'll never get shingles, because shingles is basically the same thing. There's another brain, I don't know if it's a tumor or cancer, but if you've had chickenpox, if you've actually been exposed to it and your immune system has stronger, you'll never have that risk of getting that brain tumor or cancer. And again, I wrote it many years ago. And now my child has a susceptibility of getting that brain thing because he never got chickenpox and never will because he got the shots. So again, like I'm already out of it because we vaccinated, and I just didn't understand. But again, I was just doing the research, and based on everything I researched, I thought it was a better idea my parents didn't get the shot. And I knew it was a risk because they were supposedly in the risk range. And I got a lot of hate for it because I shared my research online. I try to be very, I'm not taking a stance, but it's very obvious by the end. I said, I will wait. And so none of us ever got it. It didn't make sense for me, not even being in the field. But now what I can tell you is there are so many people. So I work with the very chronically ill, autoimmune. There are so many people that have injuries from it. So we have intake forms of, why are you here? What are you trying to heal from? And there are, I don't know, one out of 30 people that come to us that say, ever since I got X shot, I'm never the same, or my health is wrecked. I can no longer work. And we see it. And I've even talked to some of these other doctors I work with, and I ask, and I say, do you see injuries from it? And they say, absolutely. And I think some of them are even shotted themselves. But I think we trusted.
I'm sure.
And now we're seeing the ramifications, and we see many more autoimmune and illnesses. So I can concur with you that I see very similar things, and we don't even live in the same state or see the same people.
Now that I'm outpatient and I have this one-on-one time with my patients, I spend anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes with these patients, and it's a very intimate test. And they're half unclothed. Okay. And I turn into a part-time therapist, and I get their entire history. And I have had women that have come over from the Middle East to marry someone over here, had to get the shot, and their lives have changed forever. I believe that God has led me to outpatient again. I'm being underutilized, but I'm here for these patients because I'm telling them they're not crazy.
Right.
When the doctors are not, they're saying that there's no way the shot could do this. And yet it's very common. And I have had many people cry on my shoulder over this. I have seen the pictures of the blood clots from the healthy military men that are now lifetime patients, and they're in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, that's the part that I really didn't understand was when they mandated on the military. I know that maybe the government, because they're like the primary caretaker of all human beings, they think, well, we understand that a subset will get sick. But why mandate it on the military when they are supposed to protect our countries? And that was the part that was the most baffling to me, of you are making, and then don't even talk about the dietary recommendations in there or even their environment, but they are making our strongest people sick and weak. And who is going to protect us? And it's just that part I cannot understand. I cannot understand.
Well, why mandate anything when it doesn't prevent the spread? And I made sure my last day, September 30th, I gowned up and I walked into a patient's room, had that, they have already had a booster and they were in for COVID. Okay. And I took care of that patient. Me, the unvaccinated person that was being forced out of my job, that was the last patient I took care of, a COVID positive boosted patient who was intubated. And none of it makes sense. It still doesn't to this day, but I don't regret my decision one bit.
And so even though you were in that room with them, you never got it, or you never showed symptoms.
Never.
That's crazy.
Never. I never, even with that little sinus infection that I had for 24 hours, I never had the symptoms. It's been great.
You mentioned in your blog post that you felt some ostracism from some of the patients that, you know, at one point you were caring for them and then they were starting to ask you questions. And if you could share a little bit about that.
Right when the shot rolled out in January, it was the number one question. Have you had your shot yet? Have you had your second shot? Well, how many are you going to get? Which shot are you going to get? And I got this. I would see at the hospital, I saw about 8 patients a day. And everyone that wasn't intubated would ask me that question. And I would say, well, I'm on the fence right now. I'm seeing, you know, you're masked, I'm masked. We're safe. I'm healthy. And I was called many names when I said I was hesitant. Well, how dare you touch me? What do you mean you're not getting this shot? It could save your life. It could save my life. And the more that I was asked that question, I hate to say it, the more it pushed me away from it.
Right.
Because it didn't make sense. But I was called a murderer a couple times. I can say that with a smile on my face now, but that did lead to a lot of depression over the past 3 years. That did lead to a significant mental health decline. My whole job for the past 13 years has been to take care of people.
Right.
And I've put my health on the line by being on call and going in at 2 a.m. to take care of these patients. I did everything I could to make me healthy so that I could take care of these people.
Right.
And to be called a murderer because I didn't want to inject something unknown into me.
I'm sorry that you went through that. I can totally feel your hurt, and it's unjust because I think what's hard, just being in the social media space, I think the hardest part is when you know your intent and when it's misjudged, when you know that's not your heart, right? So you're actually trying to help these people and then they're saying you're a murderer. So I totally get it. I understand how hard that must have been, but you sharing your story now and what you've been through and what you've seen will help more people that were not given the time to share their stories and all the people that have been through what you've been through, because there are a lot that don't get the time on mainstream media to share their stories, because I think there are more people like you. But, you know, maybe in that moment, they believed whatever they were fed, information and food and who knows what else. But at least I know that what you did was the right thing for you. And I think I respect that you took a stance, and it's truly medical freedom that you're talking about. And I know now that you stand for that. Maybe if you could share a little bit about, you know, why you're so adamant about medical freedom and the importance of it and why we should understand that.
We are, and I see it every day with my patients, we are bullied into doing things to our bodies that we aren't allowed to question. If we say to our doctors, I'd rather change X, Y, and Z instead of take this statin, take this antidepressant, we're not given that option.
Right.
And it shouldn't be that way. They work for us. And I believe we should all have a choice, no matter we're the patient, we're the employee. Without that, I mean, it's what, body autonomy? If we don't have that, I listened to a podcast on that today. If we don't have a right to our body, what do we have?
Right. Yeah, I love everything you shared. And just talking about some of the words that you felt, I just want to share even more that I understand, because I try to share in the best way possible without getting censored. And I still got censored on Instagram and Facebook, but I try to share my thoughts because it is wellness. But every other weekend in my newsletter, I would get people saying, stay in your lane, talk about just steak, and that's it. And then I would have wives that would send my newsletter of some research I did. And as I was much more outspoken about the children's one because of the rate of death was so low with children that exactly. I have two young boys, and that's where I chose to, you know, die on that hill. And so the medical lead in Mexico, he said that no child should get it. And so I was just sharing study after study, and I got,
I remember that.
And I got similar words as you, my friends from Los Angeles, which is not a surprise, but they've all cut me out of their lives because I am killing their kids by telling people not to get a shot that their kids with bronchitis or asthma, because of me, because I'm sharing this misinformation, is now going to kill their child. And so I get it from a mother, mama bear protective from them. But I knew that what I was sharing was based on the research, the truth of our science that we believe in. And so my kids didn't get it. And I refused to let them get it because, like you said, it's so new. When I did the research on shots, to get to the last round of any shot that's defined as a vaccine, it takes years. And
yes,
this one didn't even get there. And I think it's only like 20%, if that will pass. So how do we know if this one would have passed that 20% of the 20% that would have passed? And I just wasn't willing to take that chance with my young boys. And so I took a stand that was louder because I just imagined all of their peers possibly getting sick from it. And then I just got so many nasty emails. And then, like I said, my friends of 30 years just decided to say, I'm done. But the thing is, when I went to other conferences for low carb or KetoCon, I would hear from other people that they too, and they would get into tears too, but they would say that their parent, their family members have completely ostracized them and said, you are really not part of our family because you are choosing not to get this shot. And so we don't feel comfortable around you. And it's over and over that I hear this. So while yes. we feel so alone and it's heartbreaking, we are not alone. And I just wanted you to share that.
I did find a community. Alex Zek created Health Freedom for Humanity in, I don't know the dates, but I went to a conference. I flew out to, I believe it was, anyways, the Midwest. And I met hundreds of other people that refused the shot and chose their natural health. And so that was really what, and that was right after I walked out of my job. I flew out in October for the Health Freedom for Humanity Symposium and found out I wasn't alone. And reading your newsletters, that's why I approached you at KetoCon, just to thank you, because food heals. And I just love that you were so outspoken about it and choosing natural health and questioning and providing the resources. And that's what I love about you. You provide the resources and you can back it up. And it made sense.
Yeah. I think people should make their own decision, but just yes. not saying that I have the right decision. So I always give the citations of read everything and then make your decision. But it's just
research.
Yes. Do your own research and read more than one, and then read one that's against your thoughts and then for your thoughts and see what makes sense. And then ultimately, based on your health and your journey and your situation, then you can decide. But correct. That's the thing that most people are not doing, but then judging you for not following the norm, which is so insane to me.
I got it for my job. I got it to travel. All of my coworkers, the number one reason they chose to get it, they all had COVID. some multiple times in that short time frame, but they got it to travel. Wow. And they said, I don't want to get it, but I need to go see my parents over in Africa. Okay.
Can you share some of the stories of the people you met during that symposium?
Healthcare workers. Yes, healthcare. And I still talk to them, but they're healthcare workers just like me that saw the same thing and that were outspoken. Teachers, a lot of chiropractors, a lot of people in the holistic health space. And that's what really opened my mind to digging even further with my healing journey. But all of these people spoke out about choosing your health over an injection, over any pharmaceutical at all. And everyone shared their stories about what they had seen, and they all seemed to correlate with each other.
Right.
And a lot of people were able to get exemptions, whether it be, most were religious. I'm in a sticky situation up here in Northern Virginia, near 30 minutes south of DC. they were a little harsh up here, and exemptions were not approved.
Right.
But a lot of the people I met were very fortunate and had their exemptions approved.
So what's next for you? Do you plan on going back to any of those hospitals? Are there still mandates in the hospitals? I don't even know at this point.
So at this point, I am trying to reduce stress as much as possible.
Okay.
What does that look like? I am my own business owner right now. I'm a contractor. I work for a couple outpatient practices, and I go in, I do my job. I do get that patient interaction, and then I go home. I don't have to clock out. I don't have an email. It's wonderful. I'm not being used to the best of my ability. I don't get to save lives on a every hour basis like I used to, but I'm becoming okay with that. Because morally, I don't think I could go back to a hospital. The COVID shot is not the only thing that is mandated. I started looking, what does it take to get into a hospital? The tuberculosis test, the TB skin test. Look into that one.
Okay. I don't think I looked into that one. I know I looked into the flu one, and I was shocked at the...
This is the skin test. This is just this test alone.
Oh,
oh yes. And then the annual flu test, a flu shot, which I won't take again because every year I got the flu shot. What did I miraculously get? I got the flu. I was bedridden the last time, 2019. So I'm not going to get the flu shot again. And I don't want to fight to not have something put in my body.
Right.
So I don't have to ask for an exemption at these outpatient facilities. They are so desperate for echo techs right now.
Okay.
There's probably a dozen jobs within an hour of my house right now. And they don't ask for my shot record. They just want me to come in, do a high quality job, which I provide. And that's it. So.
It's interesting that people don't, I'm not trying to make this a should you get the shot or not conversation, but I just feel that people should think, because when I did the research for a lot of these shots, there's so many adjuvants and additives in these shots that if you were to look at, for example, when a baby is first born, we give them these shots that have lots of heavy metals. And it exceeds, so maybe one individual shot does not have the amount that's over the limit. But if you add multiple, they are way over the limit. And again, my kids, because I didn't know back then, I gave them all the shots. But when I did the research, and again, I'll put my research in the show notes, but our kids have the most aggressive shots when they are born. We have the highest mortality rate of children in all the world. And then you compare it to poverty and wealth. And we are, again, still like, you have a higher chance of a healthy baby if you were born in some poor country than if you were born in America. And I started carnivore care that way because I know it makes no sense of why are you starting carnivore care with maternities, like maternal death and baby death. But I was so shocked to see this and I didn't know where to put it, but I wanted people to read it because I mean, truly I'm for the kids, but there's something wrong where we are one of the wealthiest countries and most fortunate countries, yet we have the highest mortality rate. And the other country, I think it was the UK, and it's also, they tend to also have the highest amount of shots at the same time. And we just have to wonder,
yes,
my kids got an X amount more of shots than I did, but we are only 30 years apart. Like what toxins have changed from the age that I was a baby compared to my kids? And it's just these things that we don't think about. We worry about our meats or our plants having certain fertilizer, herbicides, and additives. But if you look at the adjuvants and additives, they have thimerosal, which is mercury, in these shots. And I shared that on Instagram.
Aluminum,
thank you. And all these other, and I think there's egg proteins and egg whites, which if you're sensitive to eggs, what would that do to you? And I shared a screenshot of the CDC's, literally their list of what's in a shot. And I got flagged for that because it was false information. And of course, how is that false when it's a screenshot? But okay. But I'm not saying that no one should get it. It's up to you. That is your medical freedom, your own body and your own right. But at least understand that we are getting way more shots than we ever did. Our correlation doesn't always cause causation, but we in fact have the highest mortality rate than most countries. We are the wealthiest. We have the highest amount of shots at one time, up to the most aggressive. And it's just, we just have to wonder why. That chickenpox shot, for example, I think it's with many other shots, but in other countries, they give it separately. So I think it's a cost thing where if you put it all at once, it's a more expensive shot. But we just have to wonder, is it right for us? If our families struggle with chronic illness or susceptibility of autoimmune, maybe for us, we have to separate these shots or do it very slowly, or maybe it's a risk for us. Because even on the CDC, it'll say certain people should be a little bit more careful with these shots. So, but we don't ever hear that from our doctors. And in fact, when I declined my kid's 4-year shot, the doctor was upset and we never went back because the doctor was like, why wouldn't you get a shot? Anyways, that was my stats, but
they get the pushback.
Totally.
The one thing I will say on that, and because I went down that path as well, read the inserts.
Right.
And anyone that asks me, well, why do you have that stance now? Read the inserts. And that will just awaken people and open their eyes to what are we injecting into these kids? What are the true side effects? What can happen? And I've even started questioning everything that I went through as a child, the antibiotics, the surgeries I had,
right,
backing up to the childhood shots. And now I can pinpoint certain points. What did happen and what did that lead to?
Right.
And it's,
my son had a skin bacterial infection and we went to a dermatologist and they wanted us to put topical antibiotics. And then separately, they wanted us to take oral antibiotics. And so, and this happened really recently. And so I asked, why does he have to take oral antibiotics when it's here? And they just said, it won't heal without it. And just knowing what I know now, I did all this research because I know there's a dilemma of, I don't want to kill my kid, right? And this doctor or dermatologist doctor is saying that he has to take it. Otherwise it could get worse. And I think it was impetigo. I think that's what the illness is. And so I read and read and I just took my chances. And so we took herbals for the body and it's just in case. And then we put some of the topical cream and he's better. And I just felt like any other person, because I questioned the doctor in the office and I said, is it okay if we just don't take the generalized antibiotic? And he said, oh, I know you're scared, but don't worry. Just take some probiotics. He'll be fine. It's the most mildest, gentlest one. And I said, I'll do some research. And I left. But obviously I'm a questioner. So I did hours of research and I said, no, I'm good. Like I will take the golden seal and I'll take other herbals and he's fine now. But I just, even if a mom questioned and said, they comforted me with the, oh, it's the mildest. Don't worry about it. Just take some probiotics. You'll be he'll be completely fine. It will not destroy his gut. That's exactly what they told me. And it's just, it's so hard because that's the narrative.
And that's your child. You want to do what's best. And I can't imagine, that's going to be a tough situation, but.
So always, always just do the research because I don't think doctors have the time or the bandwidth to say, here's all the risks. And I asked my psychiatrist when I was on antipsychotics and antidepressants, does diet have anything to do with my illness? And then he looks up from his pen, writing my next prescription and says, no. And I said, okay. And we just moved on. And I was plant-based then.
Because we trust them.
Right. And we trust them. And I think when I was digging into so many different facets, writing the book, it made me realize diet is not the only place where people are being falsely led. And I think it's just, if I can just get people to eat right and then have the capacity to think a little bit more and then question the narrative, then they could start thinking about everything else in their lives, right? Even the way we educate our children. My kids don't go to a regular school anymore. I grew up in a public school. I loved it. I don't think it's the same kind of public school anymore. So my kids now go to this alternative school. And yeah, my parents are worried all the time that they're not getting traditional education, but I am completely fine with that because I also know some of the indoctrination that's happening that I don't want them to learn. So it's just this, if I can just use my platform to help people eat meat-based, get their body as robust as possible, immune system as strong as possible, and then you can choose the life you want to live or the things that you want to focus on or question, but at least it's your choice. And I think that's where what you shared is so powerful because not many people had the courage, honestly, to do what you did and say, you know what? No job, no, as perfect or powerful of a position they gave you, is worth you staying against your medical freedom.
Correct. And I loved my job. I walked away from my dream job and it has taken, it has taken me being broken to come back on the other side from that and realize it was a blessing and that there is a higher plan, a bigger plan for me. But everything happens for a reason. Yeah, and I am very blessed that I had that opportunity. But yes, I firmly believe everything happens for a reason. And I still don't know why I was awoken to this and why all of a sudden I went from, give me my flu shot, give me whatever you want, give me whatever pill you want, to no more.
Right.
And I just started asking that question, why? And here I am.
I love it. I love it. Tell us about your blog. I even saw as I was reading the one that you shared with me, I read your one about your Hawaii trip and it's just fun. You're a great writer. So tell people about your blog and you know what your mission is with this blog.
Whew, so my great awakening happened very fast and it was very overwhelming.
Okay.
I work in cardiology.
Right.
Meat causes cancer, right? So the unlearning that I had to do very quickly, and no, meat does not cause cancer, but that's what I was raised up with in cardiology. Meat is bad. It raises your cholesterol. Cholesterol is bad. So I had to unlearn healthcare, my entire job, everything I put on my body, everything I put in my body, every food that I eat all at once, the water that I drink. So I made all of these changes and it was very overwhelming and very stressful.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that want to make the changes. Well, how do you go about doing that? What are the steps to doing that? And so I decided to start this blog just to get some thoughts out there and to hopefully reach one or two people and help them ease into this denormalizing their life. And that's the title of my blog, Denormalizing, because it's not the norm. And eating carnivore is not the norm. And so it's just slowly, hopefully, a guide to how to make those changes, not all at once like I did, and become so overwhelmed and spend thousands of dollars on air purifiers and water filters. And so that's my goal, and just informing people of possibilities and sharing my journey. I did share about my Hawaii trip and how I was able to stay on plan.
Right.
Because I prepared and I had a kitchen and I felt great. And I was able to do my hiking and not feel bloated and not feel lazy. And, I'm sugar coma, food coma, and not able to enjoy my vacation. So I am going to be sharing about conferences. I go to health conferences and the way I eat. And I'm about to share my fertility journey. That's probably coming up soon. And I just hit my 6-month strict carnivore anniversary of this year. I went dry for the first time in my life, and I went very strict zero carb. So I'll be sharing that update soon. And it's just about unlearning things in life. That's my goal, and to help others.
Right. That's the whole point of it. I think when we serve others, and that's what you were doing in your career, is to help others. This is another way of doing it. So maybe your passion to help others can be in a way that will align with your heart. So maybe that's the purpose of it. I mean, just, I still see your journey continuing. So don't lose hope. And I commend you and have so much respect for you to do for what you have done. Quick question your journey though. Was weight loss part of your journey when you went from keto to carnivore?
Most definitely.
Okay.
On keto, so unfortunately, I did have bariatric surgery in 2015. I was told I could not get pregnant unless I lost the weight. I was over 300 pounds, lost the weight, still couldn't get pregnant. Keto, like I said, keto treats, I probably did not do it 100%. But when I went carnivore, the energy I had, it was so easy. And the weight melted off. I did not do it for weight loss. I did it for fertility in the beginning. And I lost 35 pounds immediately, and the inflammation was gone. It was an amazing journey. It is an amazing journey.
I have a question about your bariatric surgery. One of the biggest questions I get often is, I can't eat a lot in one sitting. And I will say, try to eat 5 meals, but even when they eat 5 meals, it's not enough nutrition. Do you have any advice for that? For any of the people that have had like the lap band or bariatric and they just are not getting enough nutrition that they think carnivore may not be ideal. I then recommend maybe try some supplements. I think the protein shakes, I don't know if that'll work because it'll bloat you faster, but any thoughts or recommendations for anyone that's listening about that?
Most definitely. So I was very put off by the OMAD. I've had multiple carnivore doctors even tell me you need to do OMAD, even though you've had bariatric surgery. I tried
it. That's crazy.
Oh, yes.
That's crazy.
So I'm going to stick to what works for me. And what works for me, I think it's very healthy. I eat 3 healthy meals a day. And yes, I do still log my meals because I have noticed I can go over. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I still have a few pounds to lose to get to my goal weight. It's just a mental thing. I want to get there. But
you look great.
I
saw you in person. So you look great. But
well, thank you very much. But I'm getting there. If you would like me to share an example for a day for me,
sure.
I make my own breakfast sausage because I noticed all the breakfast sausage in stores has additives and sugar, and we don't want sugar. So I do make my own breakfast sausage, and I have an omelet every morning. It's a 2-3 egg omelet with about 1/4 pound of sausage. That satisfies me for 4 hours. And then for lunch, I will usually have 2/3 pound hamburger patties at work.
Okay.
And then for dinner, I will have a 1 pound ribeye.
Oh, okay.
And it does take me a while to eat that. Now I can't just eat in a few minutes. I have to slowly chew my food, but I am 8 years out from my bariatric. I had the gastric sleeve. I do take my time eating. Probably it might be too long, but it works for me. So breakfast might take me 45 minutes.
No,
but I don't snack. I don't feel the need to snack. I don't go to bed hungry. I don't wake up hungry. I don't get hungry throughout the day. So three solid meals a day works really well for me. And I am getting in about 2000 calories.
How tall are you?
5'7".
Okay. Okay. No, that's good. That's good.
And
thank you.
About 168 pounds, which I think, you know, I'm slowly getting down to a normal BMI. That's the whole mental thing. I'm happy with what I'm eating. And I think that as bariatric patients, we can work up to that.
Okay.
In the beginning, I did have to eat very small meals, but I would much rather eat my protein than drink my protein. And I hit my protein goal every day and my fat intake.
That's amazing. I love it. I love it. I'm shocked that whatever provider said, I can imagine one of them at least, but that would recommend OMAD because I'm so not for OMAD because most people have bad gut dysfunction. And so if you have gut imbalances, it's just better to have multiple times that you can absorb nutrients. So, and it's just a less of a stress. So I think the way you're eating is beautiful. I think it's great. Do you want to touch upon your fertility story or do you want to save it for another time?
Just real quick. Because I am so into this natural healing. I have, you name it, and I've done it. Okay. I went through 3 full rounds of IVF, multiple IUIs, all of the medications you can imagine for over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
I went dry and strict carnivore December 29th of 2022 to heal my body. And we miraculously got pregnant this year in April. And I completely attribute that to the anti-inflammatory carnivore diet. And we did, unfortunately, miscarry. But I believe that is a huge healing sign,
right?
Being able to get pregnant naturally without any help. So I am continuing on this journey. And I do need some hormonal help. Still figuring that out. But I know our bodies didn't get here overnight, so healing is going to take a little bit. But so I feel better than I ever have. So I'm not worried about that age, is that whole over 35 thing. I am 37 years old.
Oh, it's
and
fine.
I still believe I have time.
So before carnivore, you weren't able to get pregnant naturally?
Correct.
Okay.
Never. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a... somehow I popped positive on a pregnancy test going into bariatric surgery. That's still a mystery.
Okay.
I think that was a God wink preventing me from going in, being wheeled back that day, because I literally was being wheeled into surgery and had a positive pregnancy test. Never had symptoms. This past pregnancy in April, I had every symptom possible. So,
no, that's exciting. That is a sign. I really believe that when our bodies become healthier, it will say, okay, it's safe. This body can have another baby. So there's some people that have infertility where they can get pregnant, but they just can't carry for long. So that's why I was wondering. So that's a good sign. This is showing healing. And so I will pray for you. I feel that you're on the right path, and just reducing the stress will reduce the cortisol load overall in your hormones. So that'll be also good, but you are still young. So don't give up. And I think prayer goes a long way, and just your diet itself is the lowest anti-inflammatory diet. It gives you all the nutrition you need. And then you just need to let time do its magic with healing. And sometimes that's what it takes. And so I know it's, as humans, we want everything yesterday, but if you give it time, I mean, I think that's a testament of just the fact that you were pregnant naturally. It's showing that your body is healing. So I'm excited for your journey to continue, and I will continue to read your blog. I enjoyed it. So thank you so much. Where can people find you, your blog? Are you on social media? Anywhere you want to share where people, if they're watching this and listening, if they wanted to reach out to you?
On Instagram, I'm pretty busy on there. I share my carnivore journey, my fertility journey, and I am Nora's Fertility Fix. And then my blog is denormalizeyourlife.com. And those are the two places you can find me. My email is on my blog, and feel free to reach out on any questions. I want to help. I've helped others get pregnant through carnivore that have been told that they couldn't. So it does work. And that's what I'm here for. I want to help.
Right. And I had a quick question about the alcohol. Do you feel a difference of going dry?
Yes, I feel a difference. I, unfortunately, when my mental health declined, I did turn to alcohol too much, unfortunately. It's been a lonely road, but I recognized the issue.
Right.
And I nipped it. And yes, I feel much better. My sleep has improved. I went from 3 hours a night to 7.5 hours a night.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. Huge.
huge.
But I realized I was trying to be too perfect.
Mm.
I would like to enjoy. I do love a dry glass of red wine occasionally. And I am going to allow that on a specific, we only cook at home. We don't like to go out. So I would like to have a date night. And I think I am going to allow that and not be completely dry. It was a lot of pressure.
Okay.
I do believe I did a lot of healing, and I did notice a huge difference. Yes.
Yeah. I think it is easier to be less perfect. So if we accept that as humans, we are not perfect, and what matters is having grace in that. Okay. So today I'm planning on having a drink, but tomorrow I won't. And if there are more days that you are not drinking and you still see the net benefits in the sleep, then that's great. I mean, it's similar to, for me with my food addiction, trying to find every single food without any bit of sugar, it became very taxing on our family. So if we were eating at like a Rudy's that has like a rub of sugar, I wouldn't eat there. So I would just sit there while the family's eating, and it became hard on our family. And so as I became a little bit, okay, maybe occasionally I'll eat with you guys there, and it became much more enjoyable. And now I've also noticed that I've healed, so that if I eat that, I'm not going to go and binge. So it's what matters more is that you're consistent and that you have grace. And there is no such thing as perfection. Perfection is truly the enemy of.
Correct.
Yeah. So,
yes.
I think it's great what you're saying.
And I think that causes more stress.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I think that causes more stress and unnecessarily, right. But I'm glad I did it. And I wanted to see if I could do it. So now I'm trying to find that healthy relationship and finding that balance. My husband also went dry as well, and he started weightlifting, and now his recovery is better than when he was 20 years old.
Wow.
He is doing more ketovore with me, but so we both saw the benefits. But finding the not using alcohol as a crutch has been my biggest lesson,
mm-hmm.
and finding healthier alternatives, just like with food.
Right.
Finding if I want a glass of wine, well, I'm going to go take a walk instead. I'm going to go garden. I garden now, and getting out there in the soil, I'm just going to dig some dirt, you know,
instead. That's awesome.
And take my anger out on the dirt.
That's good. That's good for all the microbes in you, as long as there's no pesticides, and I'm sure there isn't, but yeah, that's,
nope,
I think,
not.
I think all of us struggle with our, when things become hard and we're using our like animalistic brain, we tend to go back to what we used to use as comfort. And a lot of times those things that comfort are not necessarily ideal. That's why I say that I'm in recovery. I'm not recovered, because I know it is silly for me to think that I will never struggle with an eating disorder again. I have to always be vigilant and say, I have to always protect myself. And so it is more important that I fight for healing rather than say, oh, I'm fixed now. Now I could just live my life, because it can always happen. And I just need to be careful. And like you said, so then I'll do the walks, or I was doing gardening around my house too, not too long ago. So I feel like we're on similar journeys. It's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I felt your heart in our interview, and I'm so grateful that you came on and shared. I know it's not easy, but I know that this will help so many people. I'm sure some people are going to also get upset, but you know, I think it's important to share, and good or bad, you know, it's important to share. So thank you so much for your time.
And thank you for inviting me. It was wonderful.
Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening and watching. I hope that this conversation with Nora just gives you courage to do and think and just be the person you want to be. If you want to exercise medical freedom, I believe that we should all have the right to do so. Nora exemplifies what happens when we start fueling the body correctly and start questioning things and what is actually truly best for us rather than what is being fed to us to think is what is best for us. Nora shared offline that she has seen so many of her patients that turn carnivore reverse a lot of the cardiovascular disease through her stenography. I hope that this conversation gives you hope and courage to be able to stand for what you believe in, and especially when it comes to medical freedom. And I'm sure there are some people that are watching this or listening that don't agree with us, and that's okay. The point is not to say this is right or that is right, but I think as long as we can exercise our own beliefs and our own freedoms, that's where discussions should really start. And I hope that this conversation just gives you a perspective that's different than what corporate media or mainstream media has showed in the last 3 years. I hope it also shows you some of the emotions and how it's not easy going against the mainstream. And it has not even been easy for me, but I choose to share what in my heart of hearts is hopefully the right research that I have found. And again, I will put all the information in the show notes. Okay, guys, make sure to eat a lot of meat. Take care of your bodies because it is the only place you have to live. I will talk to you later. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening to the Nutrition with Judy podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please make sure to leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app so more listeners like you can find the show. If you want more practitioner care and support, head over to nutritionwithjudy.com/groups so you can get more real talk about carnivore, the environment, and root cause healing. You can also find my content on Nutrition with Judy's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Make sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter and learn more about in-depth articles with infographics at nutritionwithjudy.com/articles. You can find my 2 books, Carnivore Cure and The Complete Carnivore Diet for Beginners, on carnivorecure.com and amazon.com. At the heart of Nutrition with Judy's practice, our mission lies with a deep, unwavering passion for service and community. We will continue to empower you to have the knowledge and tools to live a life nearly symptom-free, because we firmly believe in healing and wellness for all.